that we can go and for those that are saved and not take the name of Jesus with us. We can, in many cases, and I've done that, try to perhaps hide it and not show to others. But as the team does, and we have his name upon us always. We may not always consider it how precious it is or how we want to show it to others whenever we go. It's a good reminder to think about how the name of Jesus is precious to us. Very nice song to be reminded of that. Other number? Sing. 28. Thank you.
Thank you. Tony, what did he talk about?
Eternal life.
Eternal life? Anything else? I mean, just any other details people remember stick out?
We're not here for our pleasure and like our plan for our lives, but it's a lot happier if we take the Lord's plan for our life.
Okay. And then there was an open meeting. Oh, there was a reading meeting. And we read where?
2 Corinthians 3 and 4.
2 Corinthians 3 and 4. I'm amazed at people that remember these things, because after the prayer, I stand up, and if you ask me, I have to talk about it to remember. Otherwise, calling it back. And I know that a lot of people are like this, but there's a few people. I know there's at least three people here that, because I know because I've asked them, that remember these things. So I know that we'll get some answers here. So there was a reading that was on 2 Corinthians 3 and 4. And generally, what are those chapters about? Or does anyone remember anything specific from the meeting that stuck out?
The one today was the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the glorious tidings of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Anybody else?
I noticed when they were in chapter 3, they referenced a lot of Exodus chapter with like Moses and the tablets of stone.
Okay.
About glory shining in his face, and so he had to cover himself with a veil.
Okay. I guess I was in there for that part. Thank you. I remember it now. Okay. I'm just trying to jog your memory and mine, and there was a gospel last night by Mr. Persona, and even I remember what that was about. lying to yourself, basically, and that was a lot to think about there. Someone told me that there was a children's meeting this morning that I wasn't here for. It talked about branches and how they represent different possible paths in the Christian life. Am I getting the right idea? Any additions, corrections?
Repentance and how it's turning back from your way. And the other branch, how a little bit of sin starts to eat and kill the entire branch.
Okay.
It shows all the rings around the branch.
Hmm. All right. Let's see here. After that, there was an address. Offhand, I can't remember. Oh, look, it says Bernie Rusin. Oh, yeah. I was in there for that one, too. Let's see, what are you talking about? I remember him talking. I really enjoyed it. Anybody else in the same camp? Jog my memory. What are you talking about?
I'll just say amen to what you said.
he said he was going to address the young people. So I, of course, started listening. It was encouraging.
It's all the I ams in John.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I am the door. I am the bread, I think.
That is sounding familiar now. Thank you. Okay. Let's see. There was another reading, and we sort of talked about the readings. And there was a gospel tonight, which I translated. Help me out.
Once. We're going to help you once.
What?
We're going to help you only once.
Oh. Well, I was hoping it'd be a help for, you know, everybody here, too.
That was
happy once.
What a different place that talks about once. You died once.
Oh yeah.
Christ died once for our sins.
Uh-huh.
It was offered once in sacrifice. So all the reference to once.
Okay, yeah. You remember he kept quoting it's appointed a man once to die and after the judgment. And it's one verse that I wish I'd memorized in Spanish, because I had to say it a lot, and I translated it different every time. Okay. All right. So the idea of open mic obviously is that, you know, we've been here at a conference, hopefully, I'm sure, enjoying being around other people that are friends, also hearing the Word of God, and, you know, if we're believers, we have a life of Christ, and we enjoy what we enjoy hearing the Word of God, and we're feeding on it spiritually, and it's nice to, I think, give us a chance as young people to talk about perhaps what's made an impression on us or what the Lord's put on our hearts. I give the young brothers an opportunity to actually speak a little bit. So that's obviously what we're going to do in the next few minutes. And so when remember something that just really hit them, that really, you know, get up and share it. Something that didn't have anything to do with the conference on your heart to share, you know, whether it's 30 seconds or a few minutes, whatever. Anyways, so let's pray. Father, just ask your blessing on this time here that we would be able to enjoy you together and enjoy what you put on our friend's heart also, what you've given us that we'd be willing to share. And just ask in Jesus' name, amen.
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 So, next 10, 15 minutes or so.
I don't have my Bible on me, but so this year I've dealt with a lot of loss, and so it's been kind of hard, but there's a few verses that have helped me out with it. And Thessalonians 5:8. I don't know what version this is from, but I just have it copied in my notes. But give thanks to all circumstances, for this is, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's really hard when things are bad to smile and be okay with them, at least for me personally. I don't know how to put it really. But when bad things happen, I've come to realize that I'm being used. So, and it's like a tool. It's not a bad thing, really. I mean, it may look terrible, but the reason you can thank him is, I think, Romans 8:28. And we, not sure. Like I said, I don't know what version this is from, but... And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. It's at first, like, you want to say, why me? Why? And get angry and be upset about things. But I just urge the young people to really lean on the Lord and thank Him for being useful to Him. You know, it's kind of hard when you're hurt to be happy about the whole situation. But for me, you kind of have to look at it a third party kind of view as it happening and just thank Him for it. It's hard to explain. And sometimes you see the things right away, them happen right away, and sometimes you won't ever see them. And you'll probably one day, when you do go to heaven, you'll understand. You're like, oh, that's what it was for. Okay, I get it. I'm okay with it now. But you should try to just be okay with it. You know, it's easier to be okay with it. try to think of... So when I was in Denver, I was living in Denver, and I was driving to work, and for work, I need a hard hat, and I might need my safety glasses, otherwise don't come to work, basically. And I was halfway there, I was about 20 minutes there, and I had to turn around because I forgot my hard hat. And I was just so angry. I didn't know. I was like, why do I forget these things? Why, you know? I couldn't understand. And I go back, I grab my helmet, and And then I come back down to the same spot about 25 minutes down the road. Huge car accident. Somebody jumped the median, hit a truck, and I don't know how people, if people live through that, but it could have been me. I could have been in that car accident. It was just, so that was like something that happened right away. I was like, oh, maybe that's why I forgot my hard hat, because I was supposed to live today, you know? So there's so many things that you can get so angry at, but you just got to see the bigger pictures that he's using you for the bigger picture. And you should be happy that he's using you for, even though you can't see it, it's in his plan. So that's just what I've been working on this year. So, yeah.
Maybe jumping ahead a little bit of what we'll have tomorrow, but I think it goes well with just shared in 2 Corinthians 4. I was thinking a little bit after the we were reading this chapter, the end of the chapter, the hour 17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So everything you can see with his natural eyes, they're temporal. They will last for a while, and they will not be anymore. All the things that we cannot see with our natural eyes, we can see with the eyes of faith. Talking about those things that are eternal. Those are the things that will last. And as you're sharing a little bit of situations that we go through, most of the times, this what we see about the situations are the things that we can see from our natural eyes. What has happened, what was the outcome, what could have happened or what could have not. But it's good that we can always look at them from the eternal perspective of God, as you've shared. What is part of God's plan there, and how he can use the situation and how he can use us for his plan. It's interesting something on that verse in Romans that for a long time I've read it as where is it again? Romans 8. I lost it, the reference. That all things...
8:28,
thank you. We know that all things work together for good to me that love God. But that's not how it says. It's to them that love God. And sometimes the situations that we go through, it's God working through us to other people. Sometimes it's not... We are not getting, and let's say, direct benefit of it here in this world, but the Lord is using us for or to them the love of God, and that them includes others. And a related verse in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may feel nice and receive the comfort of God and may grow, or that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And it's a tough question to ask ourselves, is if the Lord wants me to go through something, that he will provide a comfort so that I would be equipped to provide a comfort to someone else.
And that will be the main purpose of what I'm going through. How would I respond to that? It's maybe something that the Lord is not working on me directly. Of course, He always works on each one of us directly, but the particular situation that we may be going through may be so that we can be used as a vessel for the Lord to comfort someone else that will be going through the same situation. And as the on the open meeting, we're talking a little bit about the servant. As servants of the Lord, we shouldn't ask for the motive of the Lord, or if what the servant's doing or is asked to do is something that will benefit the servant. And that's how I look most times in my life. Well, yeah, the Lord has put me through this because I think this is something that the Lord wants me to have, and I will benefit from it later. Yes, in many cases that's the case, that scenario. But in other situations, what the Lord will ask us to go through as a servant will be for benefit of others. And that's where we can trust and also rejoice that the Lord is able to use us in that way. Because in that sense, we see that all glory will be for Him, and that we can be a useful servant for the Lord.
I see people smiling because they can hear me from coming from a long way away as my bones creak and everything. Wow, that was excellent. I was sitting back there smiling because 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then your testimony about that it isn't always about us, but we need to handle things right for a blessing to others. And so what I want to read two verses, and I'll try to go fast. So first in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, it says, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature?" And then over in 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verse 21. "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God." Those two verses bookend some thoughts that I wanted to share. So the first one is, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto a stature? And I think, particularly as I look at the young faces out here, that there's a lot of stress in life, and there's a lot of changes going on, and a lot of things going on in this world around us. And the Lord tries to be very clear here that by thinking about things and worrying about things and everything else, it's not going to help our problem. You know, Anthony gave testimony to experiencing loss and getting through it by doing the right thing. And I forgot your name.
Lucas.
And Lucas talked about that if we go through something, we can go through it for the blessing of others. So we have this concept of worry, and then we have this concept of, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. So there's three things that I'd like to share with you that are good practices for your life. To be known as someone who always does what's right. So do what's right, do your best, and treat others the way you'd like to be treated. And we'll look at some scriptures for those three things. Bernie mentioned this afternoon about when he headed home that he was only going to be able to drive as far as his headlights. And so he just made his path by following his headlights. And so as you face different things in life, and as you worry about different things, and as you think, well, what about this job? What about this test? What about this boy? What about this girl? What about all these things? Or someone offends you, or something happens, or you have a trial, or you have a loss, or something's going on. What should characterize us? We should do what's right. We should do our best. And we should treat others the way we want to be treated. So just to go through it quickly, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 18. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee. And so we don't always respond doing the right thing. We get offended and we pull away or we retaliate or something. But the Lord gave us the example, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. And so are we doing what's right in our lives? Always trying to do what's right. If you do that, that is the step-by-step way that you can move forward. Just in the interest of time, do your best. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And for time, I won't turn to all of them. We'll just quote some of them too. But Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. And whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. In Colossians chapter 3 tells us that we should do all things heartily as unto the Lord. So we should do our best. And then Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would do, or whatever you would that men should do to you, do ye even to them. And over in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So do what's right, do your best, and treat people the way you'd want to be treated. If you apply those basic principles in your life, whether you're a student, a sibling, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, a wife, it will go well with thee. Don't misunderstand my words. I don't mean, oh, my life's going to be easy. There's going to be times of challenge. But if you can be characterized as someone who, I always know that Nathan will do what's right, and he's going to bring his best to this, and he's going to treat me the way I want to be treated. And we do these things to honor the Lord. We get this power, the ability to do it from the Lord, and we'll just look at Galatians, probably just two more portions just to be, I'm sorry, Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even as this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed you be not consumed one of another. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. And we had Bernie read this afternoon the fruit of the Spirit, love, verse 22, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. So think about that. If that's what you bring to all your interactions in life, that you're going to do what's right, you're going to live according to the light of the Word of God, you're going to do your best, you're not going to bring your B game or your C game, you're going to bring your A game to everything you do. All the time. And then in doing it, you're going to show the heart of the love of God. You know, Don mentioned it in the reading meeting that, you know, your life speaks so loud I can't hear what you're saying. Well, imagine if you do what's right and you're doing your best and you're treating people the way that you'd like to be treated, how does your light and life shine? And so lastly, Philippians chapter 4, because this is a, you say, this is a tall order, and it is. But I would encourage you to try not to worry too much about tomorrow, but follow those headlights step by step, do what's right, do your best, and treat others the way you want to be treated. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always, verse 4, and again I say rejoice, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what happens? Verse 7, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I can tell you from experience, I've lived my life my own way, and it kind of went okay. But I spent a lot more time worrying. My conscience did condemn me. I did not have peace with God because I wasn't doing what's right. And so, but when I did what's right, and I did my best, and I treated others the way I wanted to be treated, when things happened in my life, I had a good conscience, and I didn't worry. So when those challenges came, and I got fired from my job 9 years ago for making a decision that was fully within my responsibility and authority, and they said it wasn't, I had a good conscience. So I didn't go home. I was a little stressed because I had kids in college, right? Elder parents to take care of, I had a lot of things going on. But by being able to say, I was doing what's right, I was doing my best, and I was treating others the way I wanted to be treated, I was living my life, showing out the heart of God's love, I could have peace. So I'd encourage you, step by step, walk that way, and you'll find that it will reduce your stress. And commit your way to the Lord like it says here. That's how you get that.